As Brother Ferdy have reminded us, it's the 502nd anniversary of Reformation, and we continue this series on the Reform approach to science and scripture. Of course, we did remember that we as Reformed Christians have both our belief in the Holy Scriptures and at the same time our dedication to science. And of course, we do know that in our midst we have two academicians and a host of scientists and students and even people, kahit sabihin natin na hindi po sila nag-aaral ng siyensya, ay nakikinabang o gumagamit ng siyensya. So as a matter of review, of course, we have finished the first chapter, All Truth is God's Truth. We also look at general and special revelation. And then, yung pinakahuli nating nakita is interpreting general and special revelation. And for this morning, it's very fitting that it's Reformation Month. And we'll be looking at the views, particularly the views of Luther, Calvin, particularly to Copernicus. But as a way of review, let's start first by looking at what we have covered so far. The first one is that we have affirmed that all truth is indeed God's truth. And this couldn't be less reformed. In fact, this is how we should be looking at all the truth. Ano? Baka sasabihin lang natin, yung nasa science lamang ang truth at spiritual truth lamang yung nahandoon sa Holy Scripture. But in fact, we have looked at the Holy Scriptures and we have seen that all truth, lahat ng katotohanan, ay katotohanan na galing sa ating Panginoong Diyos. And in fact, we have also mentioned the fact that God's revelation in nature, ito yung tinatawag natin general revelation, is equally as infallible as His revelation in the Scripture. Kasi baka akala lang ng iba, yung nandun lamang sa banal na kasulatan, yun lamang ang sasabihin nating katotohanan na mula sa Diyos. Pero dapat nating makita that in both cases, it is God who is doing and revealing, and God is always infallible. Hindi siya nagkakamali. Kaya kung ano yung nakikita natin in nature, ano yung nakikita natin as part of His creation, it is indeed the truth coming from God and it is definitely infallible. And then we also have established the fact that scientific theories, teorya pa lamang yan, is not necessarily equal to general revelation. And in fact, we did already alluded to something about the theory of evolution, which of course we Christians definitely reject. At sa bagay pong ito, sasabihin natin, teorya pa lamang yan, hindi pa yan napapatunayan. So we also affirm that general revelation, like special revelation, refers to an infallible action of God or to the content revealed through that action. And scientific theories are fallible interpretation of what Christians know to be God's created works. So yung general revelation, talagang infallible, hindi nagkakamali. Walang pagkakamaling pagpapahayag ng ating Panginoong Diyos. Pero yung mga teorya sa science are fallible interpretation. May mga maling interpretation doon. Ang mga tao, even Christians, do make those wrong interpretations. Sa ngayong umaga, what we will be looking at is we will examine the thoughts of Martin Luther. Of course, we would say siya po yung nagpaumpisa ng Reformation, although of course we can trace it back doon sa mas maaga pang mga Reformation giants na masasabi natin, no? But sa kanya ina-attribute ang Reformation. And also John Calvin, alam natin na marami ang isinulat ni John Calvin na nag-ambag ng napakalaki sa ating Reformation beliefs. So we will, what we will be looking at is not the writings on Reformation, but we will look at their thoughts, Martin Luther's and John Calvin's thoughts on astronomical ideas that were introduced during their lifetimes. So nung panahon nila, ito yung malawak at tinatanggap na siyensya patungkol sa astronomy. And let's look at this, yung implication nito, at ano maituturo nito sa atin when we try to look at scientific questions during our days. So, noong panahon po ni Martin Luther at John Calvin, both of them, and I don't know if you know this, rejected Copernicus as a heretic during this 16th century. So, alam natin na si Copernicus ang nagsulong ng tinatawag nating heliocentricity, na ibig sabihin ay ang mundo, the earth, revolves around the sun. Pero ang paniniwala noong panahon ng 16th century is the geocentricity. At natignan na natin yan last time. And this is an example, a clear example of the misinterpretation of the Bible. And dito po ay matuturuan tayo that we have to learn from non-believing scientists who are closely examining natural revelation. So, in fact, we did really examine yung geocentricity versus heliocentricity last time. At alam naman natin, and definitely all of us here believe yung heliocentricity, although tinignan ko pa rin yung literature, meron pa rin daw naniniwala about geocentricity despite the overwhelming scientific facts about heliocentricity. But let's look at, ang gagawin natin is, we look at some of the accordingly writings, although may mga, there are still debates, na ito ba ay talagang isinulat, ito ba talaga ay sinabi ni Martin Luther or ni John Calvin, but there are good evidences supporting that they indeed made mention of some of the facts attributed to them or some of the quotations attributed to them, but lumalabas po that they believe more on the geocentricity theory. At ito po yung geocentricity theory, no? Na nasa gitna ang Earth at umiikot po lahat sa paligid ng mundo. Of course, bakit ba nila pinaniwalaan yan? Well, of course, if you would look at the scripture, at ito yung kanilang basihan. And this is one of the most common arguments doon sa geocentricity. At many of us, of course, would be familiar with this battle that Joshua was engaged in, no? With the Amorites. At alam natin, nanalangin siya, no? Sabi niya, "Sun, stand still at Gibeon." And the sun stood still. Eh, biro mo yung panalangin niya yon. And then sinabi pa dito, "The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day." So anybody who would be reading that, sasabihin, tumigil yung araw. Di ibig sabihin, anong ibig sabihin nun? Very clearly, logically, sasabihin mo, di ibig sabihin, ang gumagalaw ay ang araw. So, we probably could not fault, no? We could not fault Martin Luther or maybe even John Calvin because parang napakalinaw, no? Ang tumigil talaga ay ang araw. At alam natin, marami pang mga verses sa Bible ang ganitong sinasabi. Kaya nga, marami sa mga Kristiyano daw, at even mga scientists noong mga panahon na yon, katulad po ni Luther at ni Calvin, ay naniniwala doon sa geocentricity or geocentrism to be the true description of God's creation. E ano bang sinasabi natin? Diba? In the morning, the sun rises in the east. And then, ano nakikita natin? Pag, if we look at the east, nandito yung east natin, ano? Kasi nandyan yung araw, eh. Baka nawawala kayo kung nasaan ang east. Siyempre, nandito ang west. At alam natin that sun, makikita natin, it seems to be really crossing the sky. At maya-mayang hapon, kaya nga Wawa mamin si Brother Jude pag magpipreach na mainit na dito sa kanluran. West. The sun sets sa west. So, even our language, our observation seem to indicate that it's the sun that's moving. Eh kung ganun ang sinabi ng scripture, tapos ganun ang ating language, tapos ganun ang ating observation, you would logically, and sabihin mo pa rin, even scientifically, conclude that indeed, it's the sun that's moving. Eh, yung panalangin nga ni Joshua, ang linaw-linaw na eh. So, what's the argument, no? Of course, eh hindi yan ang katotohanan. Oops, ayan na naman ang sinasabi natin, ayaw kuminos. Ayan, okay. But the reality is that the sun is at this point and the earth and the other planets in our solar system revolves around the sun, and it even rotates on its axis, no? So at an outstanding speed. So nandoon yung parang conflict na, no? Parang sasabihin mo eh ano ba, ito yung parang malinaw na sinasabi sa scripture. The sun stood still. Hindi naman sinabi ni Joshua na tumigil ka muna mundo, at ang sinabi niya ay sun stood still. Kaya malinaw yung kanyang prayer. Eh, kaya sasabihin natin, ang gumagalaw talaga, ang interpretation nga ni Luther at ni Calvin ay yung araw talaga ang gumagalaw. But of course, we know that, I'm sorry, Copernicus began to circulate in the science world his heliocentric view in the 1530s. But yung kanyang book where this scientific finding was published, formally published, was 1543. So, yung Reformation was 1517. So, D.C. Luther ay taong-tao na, talagang, hindi pa naman reform na reform, pero ang sinasabi natin is, he is really pushing with the Reformation. So, yung panahon na yon, eh, may bagong teorya na that challenge what is widely believed. Eh, parang mag-isip ka ng isang scientific theory ngayon, tapos meron na lamang magsasabi na, this is my finding, and it's challenging what it has been believed for the last 1,500 years, 1,500 years. Eh, yun yung pinaniniwalaan. Tapos all of a sudden, merong isang Nicholas Copernicus, nag-iisa siya, na hinahamon niya. It's just like Martin Luther, di ba? Doon sa Reformation, nag-iisa muna siya. We have this kind of thought na bigla na lang, all of a sudden, merong parang bagong ideya na humahamon doon sa pinanghahawakang napakatagal na ideya na. And, of course, alam natin na nasundan pa yan ng mga findings ng ibang scientists, but not necessarily immediately. So 1543, Copernicus published his finding. Parang nag-publish ng dissertation, alam ba, si Sister Tess, malapit na yata ng gumraduate, ano, at magpapublish na kanyang dissertation, ang sinabi siya, ganitong finding ko. Ito yung finding ko, talagang hinahamon niya kung sino mang teorya dyan, ano? Sorry, nabigyan ko. Nagising kayo doon sa aking example. Pero anyway, pero sumunod dyan, ano? Si Galileo Galilei, nabuhay siya ng 1564 to 1642, isa siyang professor of mathematics sa Universities of Pisa and University of Padua, nagbigay din siya, no? He gave another evidence regarding the heliocentric theory. At ito po ay nasundan din ni Johannes Kepler, na nabuhay ng 1571 to 1630, about the laws of planetary motion. Isa din siyang professor of mathematics sa Graz, Prague, and Linz. So, matitinding mga mga profesor ito. At alam din natin na isa pang profesor, si Isaac Newton, na nabuhay na 1642, so much later, 17th century na. No? So, noong 16th century, nag-umpisa pa lamang si Nicholas Copernicus, sinundan pa lamang ito ni Isaac Newton later, almost 100 years. Meron na siyang physical explanation of the planetary motion in terms of inertia and gravitation. At alam naman natin, isa siyang tanyag na profesor ng mathematics sa Cambridge. Well-respected universities itong mga ito. So, makikita po natin that hindi bigla. No? It was not all of a sudden na dumating yung teorya about heliocentricity. Kung kaya't yung mga Kristiyano noong mga panahon ni Calvin and Luther ay mas naniniwala sa geocentricity. But let's look now, no? So makikita po natin, no? Ang nakita po natin is yung idea po ni Copernicus ay hindi tinanggap overnight. And in fact, nagtagal bago ito talagang pinaniwalaan. At ito po yung ito yung kinikilala nung panahon nga po ni Luther and Calvin. And therefore, we have to put ourselves in the shoes of Luther and Calvin, that during this time, ay kung ganito yung sinasabi ng science, most likely ay maniniwala tayo, hindi lamang dahil doon, dahil also when they look at the scripture, yung tinignan nga natin kanina doon sa Joshua, parang ang lumalabas ay ganun talaga. The sun is moving across the heavens, at even in our language, alam natin that the sun rises east and then sets in the west. So talagang siya ang nagmumove. So that's how we perceive, yun yung perception natin ng nangyayari dito sa mundo. But ganun ba talaga? Of course, alam naman natin that yung heliocentric theory ang mas tama po. But let's look now, no? Ano man sinabi, ano? What was the view of Luther and Calvin? So titingnan nga po natin yung ilan sa mga writings na i-attribute sa kanila. Umpisahan po natin kay Martin Luther. This was recorded sa Table Talk, which accordingly was more or less one of those more precise recording ng words ni Luther, although sinasabi ng iba, that may not be exactly the words of Luther, but generally, itong quotation na to ay considered as most accurate. Ang sinabi po dyan is, there was a mention of a certain new astrologer, si Copernicus po yun, who wanted to prove that the earth moves and not the sky, the sun and the moon. This would be as if somebody were riding on a cart, sakay daw sa karwahe, o kaya sa barko, or in a ship, and image that he was standing still while the earth and trees were moving. So makita niyo, parang sinasabi niya, it's ridiculous. Ganito po ang remark ni Luther. So it goes now. Whoever wants to be clever must agree with nothing that others esteem. He must do something of his own. This is what that fellow does who wishes to turn the whole of astronomy upside down. Talagang binabaligtad daw talaga ang siyensya ng astronomy. Even in these things that were thrown into disorder, I believe the Holy Scriptures. Or ito na nga, kinote niya. For Joshua commanded the sun to stand still, not the earth. Di ba yung sinasabi nga natin? Kaya ganun yung interpretation ni Luther. At base dito, parang sasabihin natin, mukhang logical nga yung kanyang argument. And another in on his lectures sa Genesis, si Luther pa rin ito. Ito yung kanyang sinabi. Indeed, it is more likely that the bodies of the stars, like that of the sun, are round and that they are fastened, nakadikit, to the firmament like globes of fire to shed light at night, each according to its endowment and its creation. So this is not an uncommon view in the early 16th century. So very common po yan. In fact, yun yung pinaniniwalaan nila kasi base nga doon sa Genesis, di ba may sinasabing may firmament at doon sa may firmament na yon ay nahandod daw yung heavenly bodies. So, ang ginawang interpretation is it's fastened. At dinagdag pa rin, ano? Ito pa rin yung quotation pa rin kay Martin Luther about these waters above the firmament where the sun and stars were fastened. Kasi sinabi sa Genesis 1, 6 to 8, nandun yung waters. No? We Christian must be different from the philosophers, specifically the scientists, ang ibig niya sabihin, in the way we think about the causes of these things, yung waters above the firmament. And if some are beyond our comprehension, like those before us concerning the waters above the heaven, we must believe them and admit our lack of knowledge rather than either wickedly deny them or presumptuously interpret them in conformity with our understanding. So, ang sinasabi niya dyan is, pinanggihan natin ang sinasabi ng banal na kasulatan, ito ay pagiging wicked. No? Kaya kailangan daw ay talagang tanggihan natin siya. And of course, alam naman natin, no? may problema. That science eventually discovered over time that the suns and the moon, are the sun and stars, and even the moon, are not fastened to a firmament, and that there was no water being held back by this firmament. So, mukhang ito na yung napatunayan, no? So alam na naman natin wala na yung water of the firmament, although may mga paliwanag. So parang ang lumalabas dyan ngayon is there seems to be a conflict between the correct interpretation of God's creation, kasi nakasulat sa Genesis meron yung firmament at saka meron yung tubig ngayon, and his, Luther's, fallible interpretation of the scripture. Now alam naman natin, no? We know that ang sinabi kasi dito, no? Ang sasabihin mo nga dyan, sino ba ang tama? Mali yung science, yung findings ng science? Or mali ba yung scripture? But definitely, sabihin natin, hindi pwede magkamali ang scripture because we have affirmed that the Holy Scripture is infallible. Mali ba yung finding ng science? Now, hindi lang naman yun din ang option. Of course, I do remember si Pastor Noel, may sinasabi siya about the water dito sa firmament na to. Ito raw most likely, it was there before the great flood, pero noong nagkaroon ng malaking dilubyo, ito raw yung tubig na bumagsak. Kaya nga, nabawasan ng UV protection, ultraviolet protection. Kaya daw, nabawasan din yung lifespan ng mga tao noon. So, these are all possible explanations, pero definitely, wala na yung water in the firmament na sinasabi dyan. Now, punta naman tayo kay Calvin. So, nakita natin ito yung mga sinabi ni Luther. Ano naman si Calvin? Now, yung kay Calvin, it's difficult to determine and debated kung ano yung mga sinasabi niya. In fact, there were wrong attributions by many scholars in the like of yung atheists na si Bertrand Russell and Thomas Kuhn. They asserted, no, sinasabi nila, pinipilit nila, no? At marami nagsasabi, ito daw sinabi ni Calvin when he was condemning Copernicus. Who will venture to place the authority of Copernicus above that of the Holy Spirit? The fact that this has been frequently attributed to Calvin condemning Copernicus, parang pinaniwalaan na. Ito yung sinasabi na pag inulit mo daw yung kasinungalingan, ano, when the lies have been repeated several times, yung ibang tao, akala yun na yung truth. But of course, based on scholarly studies, it looks like that Calvin didn't spoke about or made this particular remark. But anyway, there were those words, some words, ano, found in Calvin's writing, particularly may mga sermon siya, say on 1 Corinthians, na ito yung sinabi niya. Calvin warns against those who say that the sun does not move and it is the earth that moves. So, yan po yung quotation from the book, The Calvin Handbook by Selby Hughes. Okay? So, he made the warning. Secondly, Calvin describes those who hold this view, yung pong that the sun is the one that is not moving, and it's the earth that's moving. He describes them as those who hold this view as stark, raving, mad, and as possessed by the devil. Eh, yun yung preaching ni Brother Ferdy kanina, no? Eh, talagang mabigat. Di ba sinabi nga niya? Eh, napaka-mabigat na akusasyon na masabihang ikaw ay inaalihan ng Diablo. Matindi yun. And this, accordingly, is found, or this was written by Young in Calvin and the Natural World. Now, of course, alam naman natin, no? We of course know that it's the heliocentric theory ang totoo at hindi po yung geocentric. No? So, it's not really, we're not really arguing now ano bang tama, geocentricity or heliocentricity. Of course, science has established that it's heliocentricity. It's not really the issue of geocentricity, but the past mistakes of Christian in the interpretation of general and spatial revelation. And the possibility, no? The possibility of contemporary mistakes. Kung kaya nga, of course, we do revere, respect many theologians and biblical scholars, but we know that definitely they are not fallible. No? Hindi sila infallible. Ang isang nagkiklaim lang ng infallibility, alam natin, is the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. But at the same time, baka sabihin naman natin, eh, kung hindi pala, kung fallible pala yung mga theologians na yan, tsaka mga scholars na yan, ay hindi ko na sila paniniwalaan din. Of course, that's another wrong view. Alam naman natin, no, what we are trying to develop in this series on the Reform approach to science and scripture is that we definitely hold up the Holy Scripture as the God's Word and the infallible truth is contained in it. But what we're trying to say is that man in his sinfulness, no, sa ating pagiging makasalanan, sa ating pagiging depraved, even our faculties, our thinking faculties, could be at times fallible. So nagkakamali po yun. Kaya dapat nandun po yung balance. So hindi naman po ibig sabihin na lahat na lang marinig nating theologian, marinig nating biblical scholar. Of course, alam natin, marami in this 20th century and 21st century, marami na nag-emerge ng mga Reformed scholars and theologian, and even, of course, our very own pastor. Kasasabihin naman natin, magkakas lagi tayo ng doubt. That of course, is wrong. But, of course, makikita natin dito, what we see really is there would be this clash, no? At times. At nangyari ito, even with Reformation giants. Kaya wag po nating sasabihin na hindi pwedeng mangyari yan. It could not happen with this respected theologians or biblical scholars. There would be. In fact, pag tumingin po tayo sa Reformed writings ngayon, not everyone agrees about hindi lamang about theological matters, ano? Even with how they look at even the theory of creation. Of course, we definitely reject evolution as a theory, pero meron yung iba na they compromise, meron naniniwala doon sa theistic evolution na nagumpisa ang Diyos at itinuloy ng evolution. Of course, that's another view, but of course, we still reject that. But I'd like to, I'm almost in the closing, pero sasabihin ko din sa inyo, no? In fact, marami, no? There are lots of biblical verses which really are very scientific or science in nature. In fact, I was able to find some of those. Siyempre, ibibigay ko sa inyo isa lamang. Mukhang wala dito yung ating hydrologist, pero hindi naman hydrology to. Baka nagluluto pa si Dr. Cruz, yung ating academician. No? Pero sa hydrology, alam na alam niya that yung water cycle, and then of course, it's described in the Bible. Clearly, not in the science term, not in hydrological terms, but malinaw na malinaw doon. At it has debunked some of the old and wrong scientific notion about how water is generated. Kasi ang paniniwala noon, meron daw ang dami-daming tubig sa gitna ng mundo. But it's not for real. But let's look at one. At ito ay isa daw sa mga kinagkakatuwaan ng mga scientists. they look at Psalm 19:6, and this is referring to the sun. Pag tinignan niyo po yung chapter na yan, this is describing the sun. It's rising, yung sun po, is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit, may circuit, to the end of them. Eh, pag sinabi mo, no? Rising, tapos may circuit siyang dinadaanan, and there is nothing hidden from its heat, no? Pero ang sinasabi dito, the sun is moving? Eh, hindi ba sinabi pala, doon sa heliocentric theory, it's not moving. But Google it. Does the sun move around Milky Way? Milky Way? Sana gumana po. Ayan, okay, gumana nga. Okay, does the sun move around the Milky Way? The answer? Bay, ayaw lumabas. Bakit ayaw lumabas dito sa atin? Anong gagawin natin? Palta natin, ha? Saglit lang. Aha. Let me change my display. Paano ba yun? Naka-mirror ko? Kasi ayaw lumabas yung ano eh. Lumabas dito sa akin eh. Mimi. Yan na lang. Okay, yan. Okay. So ito po, lumabas. Does the sun move around the Milky Way? The answer is, yes, the sun, in fact, our whole buo, the whole solar system, orbits around the center Milky Way galaxy. We are moving at an average velocity of 828,000 kilometers per hour. Nakasakay na ba kayo kay Brother Ike? Sa expressway? Hindi. Ay, barili. Hindi naman pwede. Hindi sa akin. Ayaw magsalita ni Brother Ike. Pero maingat siya magmaneho. Pero matulin po magmaneho. Pero palagay ko hindi aabutin ni Brother Ike yung 828,000 kilometers per hour na yan. But can you feel it that we're moving? And in fact, sabi nila, it takes about 230 million years to make one complete orbit around the Milky Way. I don't know kung aabutin pa natin yan, but it does. And I'd like to show also, dediretso ko na kasi magkakaloko-loko na naman to. Sa YouTube din to, how does the solar system move around? Yung tanong kanina. Yan. So, may text naman po. So, we see the various planets. So, tracing the plane of the solar system. Ayun po yung plane. How does the plane solar system relate to the orientation of the Milky Way galaxy? Ang galaxy po natin ay yung Milky Way. So, ayun po yung araw. You can compare them by extending the plane of the solar system. So, yun po yung maliit natin na solar system. So, medyo thousand light years. So, nakita nyo po yung kanina, may spiral arm ng galaxy, no? Ito yung spiral arm ng galaxy, ng Milky Way galaxy. Ano, bro? So over the next billion years, the sun with the planets in tow will still kill the galaxy around 4 times. So if we view the sun path among the night sky constellation, which direction will it be headed? So hindi na po natin tatapusin, no? Pero sinasabi po talaga dyan, no? That it indeed, no? Talagang nagmumove po siya talaga. And nagmumove yung araw na yun nga, yung sinasabi po doon sa Psalm. Eh, ito na naman ang isang blunder nitong mga Kristiyano na to. Bakit sasabihin ninyo that the sun is moving? No? The sun is moving. Eh, but in fact, no? Science na yan, no? Hindi na natin tinignan, hindi na scripture yan. Science na mismo yung nagpapakita, may ebidensya that it's really moving. So, binigyan ko lang kasi ng balance, no? Binigyan ko lang kasi ng balance, but of course, I'll go back again to the other, when I go back again to this series, that indeed, the Holy Scripture is a very scientific book, although it's very ancient. In fact, kahit kay Job, ano, we can find really a lot of information. Doon kay Job, baka tumuloy po tayo sa YouTube, baka kung ano po lumabas. Balik na po tayo dito sa ating PowerPoint. Okay? So, nasagot po natin yung question na yan, no? So, in fact, marami po, no? There are many. For us, students of science or practitioners of science, we can, in fact, really find the sciences. That science principles being clearly written in the Holy Scripture because the Creator, the author of science, God Himself, wrote it. And in fact, it's the truth. Kaya yung, of course, binabalance ko naman po yung nangyari, yung mga sinabi ng Reformation giants na baka mawala naman po yung ating trust or tiwala sa ating banal na kasulatan. Kaya the challenge is that we should humbly accept that man, even the most respectable theologians and biblical scholars, are at times, hindi naman lagi, fallible in our interpretation of God's infallible word. There is the infallible word of God, but of course, because our faculties have been corrupted by sin, we have to admit that at times, nagkakamali. Kaya nga yung mga sinabi, yung paniniwala ni Luther at saka ni Calvin nung panahon nila, back even Calvin saying that those who believe that heliocentricity is possessed by the devil, alam natin na hindi po tama. So, questions or even comments, baka may karanasan po kayo, baka may alam po kayo na mga iba pa rin po mga Reformation scholars na may mga maling sinabi or interpretation about general revelation, you're welcome to share those thoughts. Wala, uya na. Nagugutom na kayo. Ah, yes, Mimi.
Tito, ay pag tinanong po tayo ng isang unbeliever or kahit ng isang fellow Christian, hanggang saan po natin pwede i-dismiss na, kanari, very scientific, bakit parang ito yung sinasabi ng Bible, pero ito yung ng science? How, yung sinabi po ni Calvin ba or ni Luther kanina na, if we do not know, parang, let's leave it at that. How far can we use that parang disclaimer or clause na, narinig ko na po to sa iba kasi na, hindi mo naman kailangan yung truth na yan for your salvation. It will not affect, kumbaga, hindi siya necessary truth for your salvation. So, how far can we push that statement na, hindi, hayaan mo na yan, hindi mo naman yung kailangan para ma-save ka or hindi. So, yun po.
Okay. Yeah, of course, definitely, we don't compromise the gospel truth. No? So, lalo sa atin, sa ating mga Reformed Christians, malinaw na malinaw po sa atin how the gospel truth is presented to us, no? That we are sinners. We definitely could not on our own respond to the gospel, at it's the Holy Spirit who would awaken our dead spirit. At ang ating Panginoong Jesus, nagkatawang tao siya, 100% man, 100% God, no? Hindi siya schizophrenic, hindi dalawa yung kanyang pagkatao, no? Hindi nabawasan ng Trinity nung nandito siya sa 33 years of his life. And he was our substitute on the cross. He bore our sins on the cross for his elect. Okay, and of course, kailangan natin mag-repent at magtiwala doon sa sakdal na ginawa ng ating Panginoong Jesus. Of course, very quickly, yun po yung alam nating gospel. And then, ang tinatanong ni Mimi, sabihin, ba't ba natin pagtatalunan pa yan? Saan ba sumisikat ang araw? Tumatawid ba yung araw na yan? Mahalaga pa ba yan? The general revelation. No? The fact that we move dito sa creation ng ating Panginoong Diyos, alam natin that this is a world created by God. So, malinaw din sa atin, for example, that we are mandated, for example, to be stewards instead of, kasi yung sinabing subdue the earth. Ang sinasabi nila, kayo mga Kristiyano, kayo ang nagwasak ng mundo. Kasi kita nyo yung nakasulat dyan sa Biblia, subdue, ganun yung interpretation nila. Of course, pinaliwanag na yan ni Pastor Rodel at saka ni Brother Rex in one of those, in ilan sa mga Sunday school natin about environment, that it's not yung sinasabi natin na inaalipin ang creation, but of course, being stewards yun yung translation. So, doon sa sinasabing ano ba talaga yung parang magiging balanse na sasabihin mo, hindi naman mahalaga yan. Kasi we could, no? Nandoon kasi yung pwede kang question nila, kung hindi naman pala mahalaga yan, yung halimbawa sinabi about, halimbawa yung Psalm 19:6, chapter 19, verse 6, mali yan eh. Yung una, no? Halimbawa, wala pa yung evidence nun. Mali yan eh. That would, of course, compromise our belief na mali, baka nga talaga may mali doon sa scripture. And, sasabihin natin yan, di mali na rin yung aking gospel. Mali na rin yung aking pinaniniwalaan. So, ang aking belief dito is that we believe that the Word of God is definitely infallible, walang mali yan. But there could have been errors. I think I've heard Pastor Noel, at alam natin na doon sa mga translations na binigay sa atin. So, maaring may mali doon, pero kung makukuha lang sana natin yung original na sinulat, it would be the perfect infallible Word of God. So, I would say na we hold on definitely doon pa rin na the Holy Scripture is definitely the infallible Word of God. At kung meron, no, parang may question. Halimbawa, kasi noong before this itong movement of the sun doon sa solar system ay na-establish, definitely talaga sasabihin, yan na nga ba sinasabi sa inyo, mali kayo. Or even yung mga archaeological findings, di ba? I think there are several archaeological findings na sasabihin, binanggit na mga tribo, wala naman yan. But of course, we know that archaeology is a science that is in progress at marami na di-discover. So, I think yung naalala kong sinasabi din ni Pastor, yung the absence of evidence is not doesn't mean na wala talaga yung bagay na yon. Kaya I would still firmly say that 100% tayo na naniniwala sa infallibility ng banal na kasulatan. But of course, hindi nga natin pwede sabihin, yung ESV ba o New American Standard Version ay walang mali sa translation. O kaya nandun na yung mga pagtatalo-talo sa mga meaning. Of course, alam natin na nandun yung ugat noon. I think baka next, it would probably be next week, God willing, doon sa discussion natin about how has the wisdom or intelligence of man affected by sin. Doon natin masasagot na may maaaring mga mali. Pero pag sinabi natin banal na kasulatan, if that's the true original Word of God, I would put my confidence pa rin doon. Hindi pwede sabihin, merong mga siguro 5% hindi ko paniniwalaan kasi wala pang ebidensya. I won't say that. I would still say I'm 101% trusting doon sa infallibility ng salita ng Panginoong Diyos. But of course, subject to, nandoon yung pwedeng fallibility doon sa translation o kaya doon sa pagkopya ng mga scribes, that of course, Pastor Noel has time and again cautioned us na mag-ingat tayo, no? But of course, tama pa rin na pag hindi naman siya very essential sa gasp sa ating salvation, we could be very accommodating. In fact, that's one of the things I failed to mention. Ito yung dapat maging isa din sa mga reformed, and I think this is one of the things that we're seeing now sa ating Reformation Conference. Yung pagtanggap natin doon sa mga mananampalataya na hindi pa reformed, but we do accept them really as our brethren. Na hindi natin sasabihin, sino man kayo naniniwala sa doctrines of grace, mahala kayo. Basta ako, mas madami siguro ang aking corona pagdating ko sa langit. Kayo siguro, baka sing-sing lang tatanggapin ninyo. Basta, hindi tayo ganun, ano? We are not that snobbish, reformed Christian, but we are that loving Christian na alam natin na maaaring hindi nila naintindihan pa yung Reformed doctrines, but we do accommodate them as our brethren. Okay, pasensya na, napahaba ko. Ganun daw yung professor, ang daming sagot, pero ang ibig niya sabihin, I don't know. Sige. Professor G.
Yes, but somewhat related to that, but yung concept ng intertextuality and sufficiency of the scriptures vis-a-vis science. Kasi intertextuality, it refers dun sa a text makes sense in relation to another text. Sa science, ang text niya is based on observation and napoproduce niyang text is an inference. Pero ang scriptures, ang theologians, yun yung mga theorists, yung sa scriptures, yung theologians, sufficient siya eh. We know that the Bible is sufficient. So, even at the time of Calvin and Luther, complete na yung scriptures. So, as sufficient. Ang tingin ko lang, yung intertextuality nila ang nagkaroon ng problem. Kasi even sa Bible, sinabi na yung universe, the galaxy is already there. Pero ang tiningnan lang nila is one scripture about the sun and not the universe. So baka naging limited sila sa pag-interpret because of that intertextuality problem. So nire-refute nila nang nire-refute yung actually science is limited in the sense nga na based lang on observation and inference, samantala ang scriptures, ang author nun ay ang God who is infallible. So, baka lang po. I mean, that's my own inference as a social scientist.
Tama. Sige, Brother Wright.
The thought lang. Naalala ko lang, I think, a few years back when we were discussing this issue also, I think yung naalala ko yung statement ni Pastor that the Bible was never designed to be a scientific book.
Yeah, okay.
You know? So, there are only portions that are explained scientifically. But the main point of the Bible, it is a story about redemption. Ano? And kanina, kung balikan natin yung binasa natin sa scripture reading natin, many will come to really challenge the scriptures. And that is where we are really made to stand. Ano? So maganda yan, inaaral natin, maganda yung tanong ni Mimi. Ano? Pero yun na nga, we cannot really explain everything. But balikan tayo dun sa scriptures. And that is a story of redemption.
Okay, pero still, no, it's not a science textbook. You cannot find the gravitational constant in the Bible. But Job was saying, I think it was Job, and I forgot the text. Na the earth is just hanging on nothing. No, and it talks about gravity. And then, eto na yung ating hydrologist, watershed management, ano, specialist, yung water cycle. Eh, kasi nung paniniwala. Tama nga ba, sir, yun? Ang paniniwala ay yung tubig daw ay nandun lang maraming sa gitna ng mundo, sa gitna ng earth. No? It's in the core. At hindi nila alam yung water cycle. But Isaiah, I think it's somewhere in Isaiah 55, where he says about the rain coming down and then doing its job and then going back to the heavens. A water cycle, well, of course, it doesn't use the hydrological terms like precipitation, interception, runoff, stream flow, alam yung Dr. Tusek, eh, siya na magtuturo po nun. Pero, hindi po ganun yung language nun. But, sabi nga nung isang author na natingnan ko is, have this scientist look earlier doon sa Isaiah, eh, makita na nila, nandun yun yung hydrologic cycle na sinabi about how the water just go round and round sa earth at hindi yung parang merong galing sa gitna ng mundo. So, and in fact, there are a lot, even yung blood. I think, ambawa si Pastor, he keeps telling us na in the olden times, pag may sakit, ang remedy was you're made to bleed. Kasi nandudo sa dugo yung sakit, no? But you're made to bleed to death. Pero alam naman natin that in the scriptures, no? I think it's in Leviticus, I don't know the chapter again, the life is in, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Eh, alam naman natin yun. Talagang totoo yun eh. Ngayon, alam natin eh. So, doon pa lamang, physiology, sinasabi na kaagad. So, it's not really a textbook in physiology, pero merong mga science principles na makikita natin. In fact, madami, even geology. And I'm so amazed that nung tinignan ko yung reference ko na ganun nga pala talaga, no? Talagang nandun yung principles ng science, nandun sa Bible na kung talagang i-examine, dahil ang creator nga ng mundo, na itong mundo natin, pati tayo ay ang Diyos, alam na alam niya. Kaya nung binigay niya yung salita, nandoon yung hints of science. Kaya lang, hindi talaga as scientists would find it in mga journals na pinapublish. Yes, Christian. Did I get your name right? Okay. Ating guest.
Morning.
Yes.
Ang question ko po ay dilemma din po ng maraming teacher na nagtuturo po ng biology and science in general. Sa tingin ko na discussion na rin ito dito before, pero hindi pa narinig. And I think I'm blessed that I'm here because this church is so unique. And that ang mga tao dito, ang very intellectual on Philippine soil, nandito sa nagkakatugma yung mga utak. Dilemma po kasi sa akin personally, yung pagtuturo ng ibang concepts in biology, like for example, evolution. I don't know if it's true. Tinuturo ko lang siya as a concept. Pero marami kasi nagtatanong na sa how do we meet halfway doon sa science and the teachings of the Bible? Ano pong tamang approach kung may magtanong na estudyante?
Okay. Yeah, in my case, of course, I don't teach biology, but I'm on the biological side of the discussion. But one of the ways that I do it is I mention about the word evolution, but I clarify what is my personal belief about evolution. But I, of course, I don't take a whole Sunday school time to explain what evolution is in my belief. But I also insert important hints that about my belief about creation. And for example, simply lamang na pagtuturo. For example, when I talk about the composition of air, it's 19% oxygen. And of course, alam natin it's about 70% nitrogen, etc., etc. Of course, yung related dun sa course, ano? But I inject the fact that I ask the students, why do you think that it's not by chance that it's 100% oxygen? And for those who could think real quick and fast, they would say, well, when man discovered fire, definitely all of this whole earth would become a ball of flame. And they understand that oxygen is flammable and nitrogen is non-flammable. But I would ask, do you think it's just by chance that it's 70% or 71% nitrogen, which is inflammable? Don't you think it's more believable that there was an author, a creator of life, who made this exact mix so that we live exactly as we would? No, we're breathing oxygen. Pero hindi naman napakataas ng oxygen para tayo masunog o kaya magkaroon ng napakataas na oxidation, which is another reaction. Wala yung mga chemists natin. So, ganun pa rin. No? So, pwede mo ma-stretch sa ganun. Kapraso lang yon. But you can inject those kind of beliefs without, of course, being very offensive doon sa mga ibang who may not be believing. But you're just presenting something very scientific. You ask them, do you think it's just by chance nagkahalo-halo lang yung mixture na yan ng nitrogen at saka oxygen para tayo ganito ang ating hinihinga at hindi tayo nasusunog? Of course, bakit 19% lamang? Bakit hindi 21, 22? Of course, I would attribute it, of course, to the divine creator who knows na ito yung tamang mix.
So, yung question ko, ang sinasabi ko ay evolution is an instrument of creation or God. Pwede bang sabihin ganun?
of course, merong evolution, no? may macro evolution, which is of course, it is billions and billions of years, out of nothing came something. At ito ngayon, lagi ko narinig kay R.C. Sproul, eh, sabi niya, how could something come out of nothing? If it's nothing, nothing produces nothing. Eh, imposible yun, ano? Pero, no? Yung microevolution, there's such a thing, lalo kami sa forestry. Meron kasi yung mga adaptations, lalo ngayon, in the light of climate change, increased carbon dioxide levels, higher temperature, higher precipitation or rainfall, meron sa mga genes na mga halaman and even ibang organisms, nasa genes noon ang iba't ibang combinations that would make them adaptive to the changing environment of this planet. Kaya nandoon yung sinasabi ko, that's the microevolution that I believe, that's adaptation, but I don't believe that evolution coming from the Big Bang. I categorically say that in class.
So it's part of the design.
So yung adaptation, no? It, and it's not yung sinasabi nating out of nothing came all these things na meron tayo. But we came from when God said in Genesis 1, and God said, let there be, and then everything.
I continue to learn about that. Okay. Thank you for the heads up.
Yes, Brother Fergie.
Medyo related doon sa tanong po ni Mimi, na parang concern ko rin lang talaga yung sa pag-aaral na to. Pwede po ba nating itulad yung view na geocentricity sa evolution? Kasi kung doon ako medyo curious, kasi kung pagtulad siya ng evolution, alam natin yung theory of evolution ay nakaka-apekto sa gospel. So kung pangahawakan natin yung halimbawa geocentricity view, ay pwedeng maka-epekto rin sa gospel. Kasi ako nakakamali, si Galileo Galilei ay na-excom sa Roman Catholic Church dahil sa paghawak niya ng view ito. And I think 9 years or 11 years bago tinanggap ng Church, Roman Catholic Church, ay ato yung view na to na heliocentricity. So, pwede natin sabihin ganun. Kasi napakahalaga kung parang parehas ng evolution ay it also affects the gospel.
Okay. I think doon sa last lesson natin, I think I have mentioned that there are biblical truths na talagang hindi natin talaga pwedeng i-compromise. For example, if science would question, you're saying that Christ resurrected from the dead? That's not true. There is no scientific evidence. But definitely, sasabihin ka agad natin, no. I have firm belief that the resurrection mentioned in the scripture is the truth. At hindi ko pwedeng i-compromise on. And the same thing with creation. Na hindi natin pwedeng sabihin that, sige, medyo doon tayo sa theistic evolution kasi parang magkasama yung Diyos at saka yung evolution. Parang yun na sasabihin na natin. Actually, this is what some of the Christians now are compromising with, no? Yung theistic evolution. Now, God started it and then itinuloy na lang ang evolution. But of course, it compromises the real truth that yung sinasabi nga sa Genesis, and God said, and God created, and God said all of this, and then all of these things were good na He created. So, sasabihin ko, may mga malilinaw kasi na mga biblical truths na talagang sasabihin na kagad natin na dahil hindi pa siya napuprove, kasi sino ba nakapag-prove na meron ng resurrection? Of course, science would say, we cannot prove it. And in fact, ito yung limitation ng science. Science can only do what is yung nandito sa present. Hindi niya kayang i-replicate, no? Kasi ang science nakakapag-replicate ng experiments. You ask all the scientists here and they have all these replications, no? In fact, we even try to verify or validate kung yung experiment na ginawa noong unang panahon or noong ibang scientist ay pareho. Pero dahil, for example, yun nga, yung resurrection, di naman pwedeng i-replicate. Sabihin, o sige, experiment tayo. Papatayin kita. Tingnan ko kung magre-resurrect ka. I-replicate natin. Tama natin si Brother Rex. O di, sabihin, hindi pwede yung ganun eh. Dahil alam natin that yung experiment na yon, that experiment is doomed to fail. No? It's doomed to fail. So yun yung limit ng science. Pero at the same time, dahil sinabi nga sa atin na, yung resurrection, totoo yan eh. Ang Panginoong Jesus ay talagang nabuhay pagkatapos ng tatlong araw. And in fact, there are witnesses, more than 500 people, and then ang daming accounts na talagang sinasabi na talagang nabuhay siya. At yun ay naisulat talaga. So, we will not compromise. At ganun din yun sa creation. So, pero kung halimbawa, katulad nga ni ano, halimbawa, nung ba si Luther at saka si Calvin, nung sinabi ba nila, yung heretic yung si ano si Copernicus, no? At dapat siyang i-excommunicate. Kaya nga si Galileo Galilei na excommunicate siya. But of course, ang sinasabi naman natin doon is meron tayong mga bagay na hindi natin talaga nakikita. But kung ang pinagtatalunan naman ay not gospel related, we could be accommodating. Pero sinabi ko nga, halimbawa, pag kinwestiyon na sa atin yung creation tsaka resurrection, we cannot compromise on that kasi malinaw na malinaw. Ito nga yung sinasabi ni Sister Jean kanina na ilang beses yan, yung ibang text yan sa Bible ay nag-affirm nung sinasabi about creation, about resurrection. So dahil merong ganong klaseng evidences, hindi tayo makikipag-compromise. Pero halimbawa, yung tulad nga noong yung sa geocentricity, although of course, iba yung science nila noon kaysa noong science na ngayon. And then of course, makita nga natin, biro mo 1,500 years na ang paniniwala nila is geocentricity. Paano na lang all of a sudden biglang babalik ka rin? Parang isipin lang natin, no? Think of a theory. Kaya nga sabi ko, baka si Sister Tess may biglang ilalabas sa dissertation niya, may bagong kakaibang discovery siya, babaligtarin ang mundo ng agricultural engineering. Baka hindi siya kagad paniwalaan. It would take maybe 100 years. Ano lang yun? Just an extreme example. So, yun yung naiisip ko lang na basta yung malinaw na malinaw, resurrection, creation, hindi na natin pwede i-compromise yun. And of course, the gospel. Hindi na pwede yan. Yes, scientist.
Siguro sa evolution, very nandiyan si Brother Jerry na pwede mas magaling siya mag-explain sa akin. Arala ko nung college pa namin ma-explain yan. But we have to be very careful kasi sa evolution, it's a beautiful theory. It's very logical ang makita mong theory doon. But if you think about science, we have to be scientific din sa theory na yun. Evolution, parang ginamit pa rin nila, bumalik pa rin sila dati kay Darwin. Pag binasa mo yung Darwin, the origin of species, beautiful. Pero wala siyang sinabing evolution ay yung pusa naging aso. Hanggang doon lang, humaba lang tuka nung ibon dahil ang pagkain niya ay malalim. Siyempre namamatay yung maigli ang tuka. So nag-evolve siyang ganon. Ang tao naging smarter, ang taga naging bright ngayon kasi nahuhuli, namamatay na yung mga mabagal tsaka kumakain ng araw sa gabi lang pala kumakain. So yun ang mga survival of the fittest. They will evolve in that way. Evolution is only from this point up to this point. You cannot go. Like what Erie is doing. Before we are doing, we spend millions and millions of dollars just to make rice C3 going C4. It takes a very long time. Hanggang ngayon, halos wala pang nangyari. Ang ibig sabihin, paano mo i-hasten yon? Hindi talaga, walang scientific proof na pwede ang rice magiging tumaas ang ani, maging resistant, o maging tumangkad, pero rice pa rin siya. He could not go beyond that one. Gumawa kahit genetic engineering gagawin mo, pag nilagay mo yung gene na hindi tugma sa kanya, isusuka niya yon. So hanggang doon lang siya. Kasi ang chromosome niya ganun lang. Mabuhay man siya, sterile siya.
Parang tao din yan, lalagyan mo ng additional gallbladder, isusuka niya yan. Kahit nga medyo compatible lang yung itatransplant sa'yo, iba. Hindi siya. So may mga ganon. So, ang lagi ko sinasabi ay, pag nakita mo yung mga literature ng kahit science or nature paper on genetics, it's very nice para ang para bang graph na pataas yung ganon. Pero pag nakita mo ang graph, pag tuloy-tuloy mo yan, maklulok talaga yan. So hanggang doon lang tayo. Nakikita lang niyang pag-anon. In-interpolate ka lang at dire-diretso siya. Maglulop siya. So hanggang saan ka lang, doon mo interpret siya. Huwag mo nang i-extrapolate na lampas na tayo. So always, be scientific. Like with the challenge, be scientific. At saka makita mo yung ma-appreciate mo lagi yung creation. If you're a geneticist, ma-appreciate mo yung creation. Paano nag-replicate transcription, translation up to the enzyme, up to the protein level, up to ma-express talagang phenotype, which is affected by the different environment. So, very, ganun. Ang challenge doon, hanggang saan, ano experiment mo? Ay, itong microbes, nag-change siya, medyo nagkaroon ng balahibo. May microbes ang balahibo. Hanggang doon lang siya. Huwag mo nang sabi, eh, magkakaroon na yan. Next time, magkakaroon na yung paa, magkakaroon na yan ng mata, magkakaroon na yan. Hindi, hanggang doon lang ang interpretation mo. Kasi it will not go beyond that one. So, ganun lang. Tama yung sabi ni Juan. Kung sa Bible naman, it's last. The absence of evidence is that evidence of absence. Okay? The absence of evidence is not an evidence of absence. Lagi mo yung sabihin. Tsaka, back to the Bible, Deuteronomy 29:29, yung mga sinabi sa'yo, yun ang kaya ng utak natin. Yung mga sikreto ng Panginoon, hayaan mo na yon. Kasi hindi natin ang kaya ng utak. So, balik tayo sa Deuteronomy 29:29. Maraming salamat.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. In fact, if you study yung genes, yung genetic code, that really debunks evolution. It really debunks evolution. Kahit anong gawin nyo, no, na-discovery yung genetic code, that really was the Waterloo of evolution. Kasi katulad ng pinaliwanag ni Brother Glenn, hindi makakatawid yung genes doon sa ibang organism talaga. Yeah, sige, yung isa pa nating scientist. I think this would be the last comment at malapit na yata maluto.
Hindi ko alam kung tama ito. Wala akong alam eh. Science kasi dalawang field, no? Basic science at applied science. Now let me just differentiate. No? Yung basic science or science in general is actually trying to investigate, trying to explain why things are the way they are. No? It's actually trying to explain what is happening in the physical world. No? Ang tingin ko kasi ang science is can only prove, you know, what has been physically created. But beyond that, no, especially going into the redemptive work of Christ, no, yung mga etc., no, and kingdom building, I think those are the things that science will not be able to explain. No? Kasi ang science nga is really based on evidence, physical evidence. So that's why pag pinag-usapan natin ang Bible at saka ang science, so science can only go to the extent to explain what is physical. And beyond that, you know, hindi na niya pwedeng encroach yung what is spiritual. And exactly yung basic science, kagaya ng topic mo is general revelation, because it is, you know, it is a way by which we can actually improve the way we know about this world. And then, you know, having known about how this world operates, we can then better use, you know, whatever there is. I mean, we can solve whatever problems we have in this world, no? Using science and technology. No? Parang ano yan, eh, no? Parang soil erosion. If you do not know the mechanics of soil erosion, you cannot control it, no? In the same way sa medicine, di ba? Kung hindi mo alam how the body works, maski na yung lagnat, hindi mo ma, di ba? Hindi mo masosolusyon yan if you don't know what the human body is all about and how it operates. You know? So, tingin ko, you know, it's really common grace, you know, that God has given us science so that we can better, you know, live this life, you know, address all the challenges that we have in this physical world. But beyond that, pag pinag-usapan na ng spiritual, you know, that's something that science will really never, you know, never ever be able to to explain. So, yun. But, yung, you know, whatever we learn from science, kinakailangan din, you know, meron tayong, ano, we also have diligence, you know, in making sure that it does not corrupt, you know, the way, you know, the way we understood the Bible, you know, because science can actually try to undermine yung the truth in the Bible, you know, when in fact, you know, it cannot undermine the Bible truth.
Okay, so with that, let's close in prayer. Nalangin po tayo. Our great God and Father, we thank you for your infallible word that you have given to your children, that word that has been preserved through all these years, which we trust particularly for our salvation, for our redemption. And as we have learned, dear Father, this morning, that even respected Reformation giants could make a fallible interpretation of your general revelation. We ask, dear Father, that you would indeed endow your children with this wisdom, that we would be able to discern clearly what indeed is the truth as revealed from the Holy Scripture. We know, dear Father, that as we are in this side of heaven, we will be still committing mistakes and misinterpretations, but we pray that you would indeed shield us from errors that would keep us away from faith, errors that would even keep those who are not yet believers away from the gospel message. We pray that we would be very faithful in sharing the wonderful truth of redemption as revealed in the Holy Scripture. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.